Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Monday, May 22nd, the Too Big, Too Small, Just Right edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 10. We live in Los Angeles.
I'm Zach Rosen. I make another podcast. It's called The Best Advice Show. And I am dad to Noah, who's 5, and Ami, who's 2. We live in Detroit.
And I'm Maribel Quesada-Smith, a video and podcast producer. I also co-host the Pulso podcast. I'm a mom to Renzi, who's 2, almost 3, and we live in Phoenix.
Today on the show, we are going to be talking about family composition. We have a letter from a listener who thought they were content with only one child, but now they're feeling pressure from family and friends and the clock to make a decision on if they're going to add more. So we're going to give them some advice, and we're also going to talk more broadly about what it means to decide when your family is quote-unquote complete. We heard from a lot of you lovely listeners on how these discussions have gone with your families, so be sure to stick around for that wonderful advice. Then we'll wrap up the show with a round of recommendations. See you back here in a second.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, while you're listening, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now: getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So, just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, we're back and ready to hear our listener question.
Hello, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and I'm currently married with a 4.5-year-old son. My husband and I are high school sweethearts and agreed early on that we are a one-and-done family. We do a lot with our 4-year-old. We go geocaching, magnet fishing, sports, and academics. I have now just turned 40, and after learning most, if not all, of our friends and family are expecting or have already welcomed at least a second child, my age is kind of giving me pause. My husband is not interested in a second, and to be honest, I'm not sure I am either. But my age and family history, I was an only, have me doubting my much earlier life decision. If we have a second, we can't afford to give him the life that we gave our first, which seems kind of selfish and frankly unfair. I also know that a lot of people say that by having siblings, you're giving them best friends for life. But really, the only thing that's guaranteed is that resources are going to be divided and they're going to receive less attention. Would love any thoughts.
What do you think, Maribel?
Ooh. So I feel like this person, like I'm the same person. I can totally identify with them. In fact, we're even close in age. So I myself had a difficult pregnancy. We were actually expecting twins and our daughter passed away after being born. So because of that and the trauma that that caused, we decided that we probably were not going to have more kids. but I've always kind of been 50-50. And my husband, just like this person, is like 100% no. He doesn't want to see me go through it again. He doesn't want to risk anything. But also there are other things that I think about as well, just like this person, like resources. I mean, it is very expensive to have children and to raise them. It's expensive to even, you know, send them to school or to clothe them. And there are many things that we like to do together, like travel, that I feel would be a lot harder or almost impossible to do with more than one kid. So I completely identify. And I will say there are two things that stick out to me. So one is that your husband is saying he's not interested. And I think that's really important to your relationship in the marriage. Like, I think a lot of people don't think about their marriage when they're having kids, and they don't realize how much their marriage will change or evolve. And so if one person is clearly saying no more, there needs to be respect of that, or you need to make sure you're having deeper conversations about the reasons behind them, because you, the last thing you want to do is to ruin your marriage over having more children. So I think about that, like, how is my relationship going to be impacted if we bring in more kids into the mix, because that's going to add stress, both financial stress and just mental stress. And then the other thing that sticks out to me from this question is that people keep saying that they'll have a best friend for life if you have more kids. And I think that's bullshit, because I'm one out of three, and I am not best friends with my siblings. I love them, and I like seeing them, and I like hanging out with them, but they're not my best friends. Mm-hmm. My best friends are not related to me, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Your kid will have best friends that are not their siblings. That's normal. Like, most of the time, to be honest, in my experience, the siblings, all they do is fight. And that's more stress on you. So that's something that I think about too. Like, do I really want to deal with my kids fighting all the time? And like, I see other parents always dealing with that. So I think that it's oftentimes seen with rose-colored glasses when people say that. Like, oh, but they'll miss out on their best friend. No, that's not a sibling's job to be your kid's best friend. I think that's just a... you know, something that people say, but they don't realize how much work it actually adds to a family.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it doesn't seem like you want this kid. Your husband definitely doesn't. It doesn't sound like you do either. To me, of course, it's up to you and not us, but you did ask, and it doesn't seem like these are good reasons to have the kid. I mean, I'm biased. I have a second kid. I'm glad we did it. But we only did it because both of us were on board to. If one of you absolutely does not want to have a kid, you shouldn't have a kid. I mean, it's way too big of a commitment to bring a kid into a world where 50% of the parents don't want to take that on. So I would say don't do it.
I am also in the don't do it camp, and I can't relate. I'm in a different situation, obviously, as a single parent. It's kind of like the decision for me has been made. I'm almost 40, and I don't know that I'll have another child. And for a long time, I really wanted another one, and I expected that I would meet someone and have another baby. And so I'm 38, and now, you know, I think about, like, how much time do I have left to have another child? And I think that that's maybe more what you're grappling with, like the idea that maybe at some point I couldn't. So right now, while you still can, you know, or you feel like you still can, shouldn't you, you know, like, do you want this decision to be made for you by time, or do you want to make it for yourself? That's not a good reason to have another kid. You know, like, I could see if you were like, I'm really on board. I really want another baby. I want another baby so bad. How do I convince my husband? He definitely doesn't want one. You don't really want one. It's going to be difficult for your lifestyle. You know, you've talked about not being able to give these children the same things. I think you should just delight in this sweet little 4.5-year-old that you have and be grateful for him and, you know, just honor the decision that you all made a long time ago.
I also noticed that in the question, you're saying that there are people around you who are having their second kid, and that seems to be creating some kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. And that is such a thing that we as human beings have to grapple with. It's the idea that because others are doing it, we need to be doing it too. Or because society expects us to do certain things, we should do that as well. I grapple with that all the time. So much of the things we do as parents happen because of what our neighbors are doing or the friends are doing. And I think that that's a mistake. Like, we need to find our own way and really ask ourselves, why do we want whatever it is we want? Because I agree that it doesn't sound like you want that other kid based on your lifestyle. But it does sound like there's pressure around you to feel like you do. And I can completely relate, because every time I go home to Mexico, when's the next one coming? When are you having another? And it's like, I should just send an email before I traveled and be like, we're not having another kid. Do not ask me this question.
Or print it on your t-shirt or something. Yeah. And like, this is an entirely different issue, but I think it's related. You don't want to have one now, it seems. If in like 8 years, you're like, shit, I really want a kid. Foster a kid.
Yes.
Or adopt a kid. We need that.
Yeah.
And, you know, do that when you actually want to have the kid. Actually, Slate's own David Plotz from the Political Gabfest gave me this advice on my show. And I'm wondering, I want to hear what you two think, if it can be extrapolated onto this decision. But his advice was, like, when you are invited to an event, let's say it's a wedding 6 months from now, and you're trying to figure out if you want to go. Imagine if it were tomorrow. If you would want to go to that wedding tomorrow, then you should RSVP yes. So, like, imagine, like, you have a second kid tomorrow. Do you want to be getting up with that kid tomorrow at 4 a.m. and being a parent to a second kid, like, tomorrow? And if you're feeling like, that doesn't sound good, again, that might be, you know, yet another factor in making this decision.
Yeah. I wonder what you all think about the idea that having an only child is not always good for their psyche. Like, in the sense that we might put too much pressure on them because they're our only attention or source of attention.
The way that your parents' expectations can be heavy when it's just you. You know, the idea that all the hopes and all the dreams and all the fear fall on you. You know, sometimes I wish that my mother had another child to divide her attention because of, you know, just how intense she was in terms of taking care of me. But, you know.
I mean, I totally get the impulse to want to have a second kid. But like, I think about my parents aging now, and I'm so grateful that I have a sister to navigate that with. But again, it's navigable without them. There are cousins, there are friends. That's not a reason to have a kid to deal, you know. So yeah, there's benefits to both, but doesn't sound like you want them. Which is great. Like own that and be happy with it. You should not feel ashamed that you just want to have one kid. That's great.
That's fine.
You should know what you want. That's awesome.
And I wonder how much of it is maybe biological. Like, I think that sometimes our actual biology is making us feel like we need to have more. And that's just a normal part of being a human. There might be actual, you know, psychological reasons that make you feel confused about whether or not you should have another one. And it might not have anything to do with your actual desires, but more so your biological desires. And in understanding how to differentiate that could be really helpful here.
Yeah.
We're going to continue this conversation, but not before another quick break. We'll see you here in a second.
Hey, Care and Feeding listeners, it's me, Lucy Lopez. What do ASMR, AI chatbots, and diet culture all have in common? They are all topics explored on Embodied, the Ambi Award-winning weekly podcast from WUNC, North Carolina Public Radio. Each week, acclaimed reporter Anita Rao holds up her journalistic lens to all kinds of things that are sometimes hard to talk about, like sex, health, and relationships. Embodied dives into what some consider taboo to answer important questions about our bodies and our society. Nothing's off limits. Hear from expert guests, including doctors, historians, and psychologists, as they break down everything from the dynamics of egg donation, how couples combat mental health struggles like schizophrenia and OCD, and the profits and pitfalls of the self-care industry. If you need a place to start, I highly recommend checking out the recent episode where Anita interviewed two couples who continued to choose each other after one partner came out as trans. So go ahead, follow Embodied and get new episodes every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're back, and as this question of family composition is so personal, we thought it was only fitting to hear from a few more voices.
Hello, I'm responding to the number of children question. I ended up with one, mainly because I nearly died when I had him, and he almost died as well. So I think that there's a lot of folks in the world that believe that their ideal number of children will just manifest themselves. I was one of those people. I wanted four kids, and I ended up with one and a hysterectomy. So I just think that there's a million ways that we form families, and I think that they're all valid. So thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think we do need reminding all the time that there's a million ways that we form families and that they're all valid. I really appreciate this one.
Mm-hmm. Same. I can totally identify with her journey and the difficulty that pregnancy can bring. So I completely understand the point of view, and I respect that.
Okay, let's hear from another listener.
Hi, my name is Holly, and I'm calling about the family side decisions. I think I have kind of a funny approach to how this worked out for our family. We started with one, of course. We adopted our first child because we had always wanted to adopt. And then when we were settling into the idea of her being an only child, or maybe thinking about adopting another one, I got pregnant. And that wasn't ever really a part of the plan, but it turned out wonderfully. So then we had two. And then since then, since 2020, when our girls were tweens and young teens, we have hosted three exchange students. So we've had often three in the house, and now I consider those three children also my children. And so I kind of have five children, and I imagine we'll have more that way. And I think it's just been wonderful. A lot of times I will say to people that I think I was always meant to parent three children, just not three little ones, because I could have never done that. God bless you, Elizabeth. But three teens has been fabulous and wonderful and everything I ever hoped for as a parent. Thanks.
I think about fostering and adopt, like Sheer and I think about fostering and adopting sometimes, but I always forget about the exchange student. The exchange student is such a great one. That yeah. seems like a... You know, like if you're like a way to kind of dip your toe into that mode of parenting without, you know, fully diving in. I really love that.
Mm-hmm. I do too, because like you said before, there are a million ways to form a family, and there's no such thing as just having a family with your biological children. I mean, there are so many kids out there who need mentorship and help and support and love. Some kids can't get that from their biological parents, even if they do have them in their lives. Mm-hmm. So I think opening yourself up to those opportunities is wonderful, and it's such a good way and alternative to grow your family.
All right, here's our last letter.
Hi, Mom and Dad. My husband and I are the parents of four fabulous little boys. Before we had kids, I was confident that I wanted two kids that were spaced 5 to 6 years apart. That way we'd only have one in diapers or at daycare at a time. And it seemed like siblings that were spaced further apart tended to get along better. But that kind of went out the window in the first few weeks after our oldest was born. My husband and I were soaking up that new baby joy. And we knew in that moment that two of these precious beings just wouldn't be enough for us. We did not want to be in the baby and toddler stages for 20 years. So we had our second 2 years later. I did read a study somewhere that 3 was the most stressful number of kids, and 4 was the least stressful. The theory is that you're outnumbered with 3. With 4, they're paired up again, and the oldest kid can serve as a helper or a third parent figure, and you sort of succumb to the chaos. Sometimes I wonder what our lives would be like if we only had our eldest and second. or if our kids were spaced out like I had originally planned. That might have been easier on our pocketbooks, but I don't know. I don't think I would have felt complete in the way I do now, and that's worth every penny that we've spent on our family of six. And I'm so grateful that this is the way our lives have turned out.
That study about three being more stressful than four is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I call bullshit on that. I need to see the resources that went into that study.
But the idea that each had, like, there's, you know, that they're paired off, I can see that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Four. Good on you, Rachel. You know, four. Amazing.
But you know what I do have to say is that I grew up around cousins who were made to be sort of like the parenting figure because they were the older one. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't healthy on their psyche either. Because at some point they were robbed from their childhood as well.
You felt a weight on them.
Yeah, because they felt a lot of weight on them and a lot of responsibility. It's different to ask your kid to hold your other kid's hand or to help you get them dressed, you know, here and there. But sometimes parents really rely on that older child to watch the kids, to make sure they go to bed on time, to set boundaries and responsibilities, and that's not okay. I mean, in my opinion, that doesn't yield for a healthy relationship in the long run.
Thank you again to everyone who wrote in. If you have any thoughts on family size or advice of your own, you're not too late. We still want to hear it. Send us an email at momanddadislate.com or leave us a voicemail at 646-357-9318. That's also where you can send any questions you may have. It is finally time for recommendations. Zach, what are you recommending?
I have a very quiet act of rebellion that I'm going to recommend today. Okay. As the parent who works from home, I am the de facto laundress. And there's just so much fucking laundry that one, I don't know how much time this is saving me, but it gives me, it's kind of a form of very subtle catharsis. Embrace the notion of mismatched socks for your kids. Don't try to find, like, these adorable little socks are so small. I don't understand how any parent can keep them in pairs unless you're only buying one pair of socks, which is, I think, a parallel recommendation. Like, only get, like, white tube socks so then you can't mismatch them. But with both of my kids, I mismatch their socks. I kind of feel like, oh, it's funky, it's quirky. But, like, with the amount of time I'm spending doing laundry, I'm not taking an extra, you know, 5 to 10 minutes per load, which adds up to find the tiny little pairs. So embrace mismatched socks. And I can imagine type A folks are going to think this is nuts, but I don't know. I think it's cute.
What about one of those laundry bags that you can zip up and put them all in there? I wonder if that would work.
What do you mean?
You know, the laundry bags. I have laundry bags that you can put, you know, items in there that get lost easily, or your bra, things that are more delicate.
Oh, and you wash them all together?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and you zip them up and then everything washes together.
Literally have never heard of that.
Oh, well, wow. Then that's my recommendation.
I like this. Wait, so what do you put in there?
So all kinds of things. I'll put in items that get lost, like certain socks that I don't want to lose. I'll do bras or other delicates, things I don't want snagged. Things like that, they go into the laundry bags and they sell them in different sizes. And they're just fabric bags.
I mean, you're not going to dry the bra, but
they're just fabric bags. They have a zipper. You put stuff in there, you zip it up, you wash it. And then when it comes out of the washer, you unzip and take it out. I don't normally dry the stuff inside the bag because it doesn't dry very well.
Okay. We should do a whole episode on laundry.
We could easily. Well, I'm recommending Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, the film. It's very sweet. It's very well done. I have to admit, even though it was a big, important book to me when I was a kid, all I remember about it today is we must increase our bust. But from what I do remember of the book and from what I've heard of it thus far, I think they did a really nice job bringing it to the screen. It's a cute movie. It's sweet. My daughter liked it. Child actors were good. Nice film.
What do you think is the minimum age? I mean, I know all kids are different maturity-wise, but
I would say 8 or 9, you know. There's a little talk of kissing and a spin the bottle game, you know. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of period talk, you know, which I think is fine for kids to hear because it's important, you know. But yeah, I'd say 8.
I also heard the new Judy Blume documentary, Judy Blume Forever, is excellent. Have either of you watched that?
I haven't, but I heard the same thing.
This might be a nice double bill.
Mm-hmm. And that is our show. Please subscribe and leave a rating and review. That helps us bring more people into our wonderful, vibrant parenting community. This episode of Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson and Mara Curry. Shasha Leonard is the voice of our listeners. Alicia Montgomery is VP of Slate Audio. For Zach Rosen and Maribel Quesada-Smith, I'm Jamila Lemieux. Thank you for listening.